All four Gospels tell the account of the cleansing of the temple. Now, even though this account, this story, does appear in all four Gospels, there is an important difference we need to note. In the Synoptic Gospels, and why do we call them Synoptics? Syn means to gather, and optic means looking or viewing. Viewing together, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell this account in the beginning of Jesus' ministry. The story comes during Holy Week, right at the end of Jesus' ministry, towards his crucifixion. But in John's Gospel, the story comes right at the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. Does that mean that Jesus did so twice, or they are the same event? So I leave it up to you to decide or find out for yourself whether Jesus cleansed the temple once or twice. But I believe personally that he did it twice, because we need cleansing more often. So this is the first of three Passovers that John records. It's the month of April, and in April, in the land of Israel, 2.25 million people migrated to one city. Every male Jew who could travel or make a journey up to 100 miles and camp outside the city of his God. And for 7 or 8 days there was a celebration. Yes, the Passover was the biggest festival of the year. And the nearest equivalent in our society is Christmas. It was a festival, the festival that had been done every 12 months for 1400 years. Now they needed two things when they went into the temple: money and an animal. The money was to pay the temple tax for the upkeep of the building, and you weren't allowed in unless you paid your half shekel. That was the money accepted in the temple, because people were using the Roman money, but the temple currency was different. So they need to exchange it when they went to the temple. And you have to have a life to sacrifice. In our gospel reading, we see Jesus walk into the temple and he sees what has happened to it. He sees commerce in full swing. He sees people hungry with greed to make money, and Jesus, God's self-portrait, is filled with anger, with fury, outraged at the unfair trading, extortion, and exploitation going on in the temple, a place which for Jews was a sign of the presence of God, God's dwelling place among them. We have nothing like the meaning of the temple in our churches today. The temple was what they call the Shekinah of God, where God was most present in this world, where God lived in the Holy of Holies, where God was worshipped and treasured by a people who went through so much pain, through desert, through forest, and terrible conditions to finally get to the chosen land and build a temple, a beautiful temple, a temple where the Shekinah of God could blaze in glory to all the visitors that would come from far away to see this wonderful temple where God was most present in the whole world. And Jesus says, "You have taken my Father's house and you have turned it into a marketplace." And in other Gospels, he says, "You have turned it to be a robber's den." How could you do that? And he is almost unforgiving in his anger. And he does take up a whip and he does drive these traders out. When the chief priests come up to him and say, "How dare you do this? By what authority do you do it?" And he gives a very strange answer. He says, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again." And he was talking about his body. Jesus is talking about a more fundamental, profound, and transforming event than the physical demolition and reconstruction of the temple. Jesus is talking about moving the meeting place of God and human beings away from a building. Why did Jesus call his body the temple? The temple had stood there for many centuries. The temple was first built by Solomon, then it was rebuilt in Ezra and Nehemiah's days, and then the temple was rebuilt again in Herod's day on the same spot. What did they put up this building for? The answer was somewhere for God to live. For when God lived on earth, and if you wanted to meet with God, you came to this building. This is where God's glory is shown. This is where you can approach God. Prayers were always directed to his house. Remember, Daniel opened the window of his house toward Jerusalem and prayed 3 times a day. Now Jesus was saying, if you destroy me, you destroy this temple. The day that Jesus died, the temple was obsolete. God ripped the wall of the temple from top to bottom. Not top, bottom to top, which would have meant man's act. God, with his invisible hand, ripped a 70 feet high curtain. Now, is Jesus the temple instead? The one God has sent to take the place of the temple? Jesus said, destroy this temple. That is, destroy me, and I will raise up a new dwelling place for God on earth. Jesus is saying, if you want to see God's glory, come to me. If you want to pray to God, pray to me. So no longer do we pray toward Jerusalem. We pray toward Jesus. He is the temple. The temple was destroyed and in 3 days built again. He is the temple of God. By the time of John's gospel, the temple in Jerusalem has been cast down, but Jesus has been raised from the dead. The temple of Jerusalem is not raised again, but when the narrator informs us that Jesus is raised in 3 days, we see, yes, his own body, his very being will be the new temple, the place where the holiness of God dwells. Jesus himself is the presence of God. Our gospel reading is the second record of Jesus' ministerial work in the Gospel of John. The first is turning water into wine. And here in today's reading, Jesus cleanses the temple. Both works involve transformation to get the desired result. The same is the act of Jesus' transformation of the cross. Before Jesus' crucifixion, even today, for some people, the cross is a symbol of shame and defeat. Now look at the difference. After Jesus' crucifixion, for those who believe in him, the cross is a symbol of victory, glory, mercy, and grace of God. It is a sign to remind us that we, once sinners, are now no more helpless or hopeless, but hopeful, because Jesus took our sins, and it was those sins that died forever, but our Savior rose again and is living. Cross reminds us that our sins have been forgiven. Our sins have died and we shall live forever. St. Paul writes in our epistle reading this morning, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." St. Paul makes it very clear that there are only two categories of people: the perishing and the saved. And Jesus made it very clear in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25. You are either a goat or a sheep. Ultimately, all must fall into one of these two classes. There is no other. In the cross of Christ, we are to find a new sanctuary, which is a place of meeting with God, a place where God is present to us and we are present to and for him and each other, a place of relationship and community, or building of St. Clement's or any church building would lose all meaning without a loving, praying, growing, and outward-looking community meeting within its walls. A few days after Easter Sunday, we will be celebrating Ascension Day, when Christians all over the world remember that Jesus left this earth and the temple, which was his body, was taken up into the high heavenly temple. Where is God's temple on earth now? The answer is, it is here. It is here. I'm not referring to this beautiful building. This is not a temple. God doesn't live in this building. So where does God live? Each one of us together as a fellowship is called to be the home, the dwelling place of God. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" A preacher once asked his congregation, "What is your body?" He said, "Is it a hotel with people coming and going and just passing through it? Is your body just a library, stuffing it with knowledge, training, reading books?" He said, "Is your body a bank, just a place for gathering money? Is your body a playhouse, simply for enjoyment, entertainment, and pleasure? Or is your body a temple where God lives?" And dear friends, Jesus says that if we keep and love his words, he and the Father will come and dwell in us. And at the same time, he's concerned about his Father's house. He's very serious about his Father's house. If we do anything to our body, he doesn't like it. Think about it. God doesn't like what we do to our bodies. Jesus' words speak to the reality that life itself can become cluttered with things, busyness and preoccupations that quench our desire to worship God. When our lives become so commercialized with the cares of this world, we have little or no desire to pray, to study God's word, to be still before the Lord, to serve God, or to minister to others who may come to us in need. The season of Lent is an opportunity for us all to take stock of our lives, to re-examine our priorities, to be sure that God is once again at the center of our lives. And Lent is perhaps a good time to visit our inner sanctuary more often and spend more time there listening to God's voice and allowing Jesus to claim the temple of our body so that the Spirit of God can dwell in us. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.